Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. The fictional character Tonto is back. The Lone Ranger began its run in theaters this week. The film's production team and the stars say the movie challenges stereotypes about Native Americans. One of the biggest movie stars on the planet, Johnny Depp, plays Tonto in the film. What do you think about Tonto? What does this movie mean for the relationship between Hollywood and Native America? We're taking your calls about Tonto right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Navajo Nation declared a state of emergency this week due to drought conditions. As Tristan Autone reports, officials are concerned about the health and safety of their people.
More than 40% of homes on the Navajo Nation don't have access to water infrastructure, and small lakes and ponds used for livestock on the reservation are losing water or drying up completely. Ernie Zah is spokesman for the Navajo Nation. He says with drought taking its toll and no access to running water, some people may turn to drinking water from shallow wells meant for livestock.
Since they're shallow, what happens is the top soil sometimes leaks into these wells. So we could have arsenic, we could have uranium, trace amounts that are okay for livestock, but for human consumption, you know, they could definitely do some damage.
Zaw says the declaration allows the Navajo Nation to apply to FEMA for emergency funds and to appeal to the White House for a federal disaster designation. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
Former Fond du Lac Chairman Bill Houle has passed away. The Minnesota tribe says he died with family by his side on Sunday. He was leader in the 1970s and 80s and worked to end poverty on the reservation through gaming. Houle helped establish the tribe's casino and was chair of the National Indian Gaming Association. He was 81 years old. Anticipation is over for those waiting to see The Lone Ranger, with the film now in theaters. Screenwriter Justin Haith says the movie is a take on a classic Western.
You know, Tonto in the original show was really relegated to a side character, and in this, he is the character in many ways. He's the agent of change that turns this John Reed character into the Lone Ranger, and I felt that that was our responsibility, to make it right in a sense, but also to be irreverent and fun with it and not precious either, you know, to make it him as fascinating and human as character as everybody else, because I think in history that hasn't been done very much.
In a press conference, actor Johnny Depp, who plays Tonto, says he watched the Lone Ranger TV series as a kid and was disturbed that the Native American character was a sidekick. Depp says this movie changes that.
I just thought it was potentially an opportunity to right the wrong, you know. I think it's great that Tonto makes the Lone Ranger. I think it's right, finally.
Actor Armie Hammer stars as the Lone Ranger.
You actually see the struggle of the Native American and sort of the mass genocide and exploitation that happened under the guise of progress. And this is one of those movies where it doesn't show it in a glorified light. You feel for it.
The film highlights Western expansion and its negative effects on indigenous people. Some young Disney stars say they hope to learn more about Native Americans after being asked about their knowledge at the recent premiere in California.
I grew up in a town called Wapakoneta, and that's Cherokee back in Ohio, so very influenced by that. And so the culture was all back there and then.
I know there's a lot of history. I know they've done a lot of great things. And as anything, the same with any kind of thing, learning in school or learning outside of school, I'd love to learn more about them.
You know, not much. I love Native American poetry. I've read a lot of Native American poetry that's touched me, but not much beyond that, I'm afraid to say.
I am not sure. I learned a lot about them in history class. Maybe this will be a little history lesson itself.
Questions have been raised that the film simply reinforces stereotypes about Native Americans. Despite criticism, people with ties to the movie say it's a good thing and helps put more Native Americans in Hollywood, like Native actor Andrew Orozco, who plays a warrior in The Lone Ranger.
The whole Twilight Saga kind of put us on the map a little bit, and just this is just getting our people out there more, so I think it's amazing.
The film is being released with others during the blockbuster 4th of July week. During this week in 2012, Zuni Pueblo was designated an official New Mexico Main Street to help promote Zuni as a unique tourist and commerce site. Main Street is a national business development program. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Kawanic Broadcast Corporation is seeking to fill two positions in our national studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are accepting applications for a senior producer for Native America Calling and resource development specialist to sell underwriting. Full job descriptions can be found at nativeamericacalling.com. Click on employment.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is the Wednesday, July 3rd edition of Native America Calling. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. Today, we're going to have a conversation that many of you have been ready to have for months. We know you're out there. We've seen the comments on Facebook and even spoken with some of you by phone. And you want to say something about Johnny Depp and his latest role on the silver screen. Well, it's your chance. The Lone Ranger is in theaters now, and Depp portrays the fictional Native American character Tonto. This film has a lot of people talking about stereotypes and the image of Native Americans in film. Many scenes in the movie were shot on the Navajo Nation and on pueblos throughout New Mexico. Since Depp's role was announced more than a year ago, he has become an honorary member of the Comanche Nation after he was adopted by a Comanche family. And today, he's the talk of the town in almost every Native community across the nation. And we want to know, what do you think about all this attention on Depp's role? Do you support Johnny Depp portraying a Native American? Or do you have concerns about this film? All perspectives are welcome today. We're going to have a respectful debate about what this film means to you. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. The Tonto character has been around for a long time, and we want to know, what do you think about bringing him back in 2013? Did you hope Hollywood and the world would forget about it? And if you just shook your head and answered yes, we want to know why. Or if bringing back the character made infamous by his line, Kimo Sabe, is what you've been waiting for, we want to hear from you too. Join our conversation. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And what do you think about Tonto? Do you love him or do you want to lasso him? Phone lines are open, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we have two guests with us here in Studio 49. We have Comanche Blackfeet artist Jane Myers, and she also works for the Southwestern Association for Indian Artists, or SWAIA. Welcome to Native America Calling, Jane.
Thank you.
Great to have you here in our studios. And you also serve as the SWAIA, or Southwestern Association for Indian Arts, film thing that goes on every summer with the Santa Fe Indian Market. And this summer, you guys will be highlighting Native films from around the country as a part of the market's Class X. And so we're glad you're here to join us today in studio.
Thank you very much. Class X is a new category for judging in the Santa Fe Indian Market. This is its fourth year. But as far as highlighting Native films, I also am the project manager for the Native Cinema Showcase. And Native Cinema Showcase has been highlighting Native films, not in conjunction with SWAIA, but around that Indian Market time for the past 13 years. So I think that's really important to see Native filmmakers, you know, get that highlight, especially when
So you've seen a lot coming out of Native America in film-wise. So.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. And also joining us here in Studio 49, fresh from her class, we have Comanche actor, educator, artist, and playwright Terry Gomez. She's a published author and has directed for the Two Worlds Native Theater Festival and various productions, including some at the Institute of the American Indian Arts. And Terry is currently a professor at the Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute, a.k.a. SIPI. Welcome to Native America Calling, Terry.
Marawe. Good morning. Good morning. Well, it is a good morning, and I'm glad that the two of you are here in studio with us as well. And I can already see the phone lines are starting to light up. People want to talk about this current film, its role, its storyline, and its history. And so let's just go ahead and start. Jane, I want to go ahead and start with you. You know,
sure.
Where do you stand on this movie? What do you think about it?
I like it. After all, you have to remember it's entertainment. We're not talking about a film that is a documentary or a film that belongs on the History Channel. So, you know, when you think about Johnny Depp, you think about Blockbuster. And I've seen the film twice now because I've been lucky enough to work on a couple little projects with them, and that's been fantastic. But I think that as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad to see Native Americans spotlighted in a summer blockbuster. Now, what I want to see going forward, because we have to always remember anything with Johnny Depp has a potential of being franchised, you know, the infamous F word. So with that going forward, I'd like to see a lot of, we have so many Native filmmakers, and just in the Navajo Nation and Comanche Nation alone, we have the most filmmakers out of all the nations, you know, in the country, Native nations. So I'd like to see our filmmakers get a chance, you know, to be above the line, not just in front of the camera, but, you know, to use their education and to use their filmmaking careers, you know, to be part of, you know, films going forward. I think that would be the biggest coup as far as I'm
so you want to see Native films getting as much action, interest, and dialogue, you know, out there.
Oh, absolutely. Why not? Because I think that, you know, like, let's say going forward, if that film employed 10 Native filmmakers, those 10 people would have a big blockbuster, you know, a Jerry Bruckheimer production, Gore Verbinski. You know, we worked under Gore Verbinski. I mean, that just kind of elevates our filmmakers, you know, to the next level. And then that's when we start highlighting Native people in film.
All right. And you just heard from Jane Myers, and we're having a roundtable about the new film, The Lone Ranger, featuring Johnny Depp playing Tonto. We also want to hear from you, too. What are your thoughts? What are people saying about this film and the characters in it? We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And Terry, you know, let's bring you into this. Where do you stand on this? And I also want to say that the both of you have seen this film, so you're yes. speaking from an experience where you put your eyes on it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Terry.
Well, from the very beginning, when I heard that they were reviving the Tonto character, I was pretty hesitant to see what was going to be portrayed. And I would have to say that my worst dreams came true when I saw the movie. Even though this isn't a historical representation, a Texas Ranger with a sidekick of a Comanche woman, Juliana Ka'abo Shock, said that would a Nazi have a Jewish sidekick, and would that be acceptable? And, you know, of course, the answer to that is no, because the Texas Rangers were formed specifically to kill the Comanche people. So when people say that the history isn't important, yes, it is. It is important when you're putting it out to a large audience and having them get an idea, this is what Indians are, this is who Comanches are. So, you know, I'm going to take it from there, from that point.
All right. Well, I want to bring in our listening audience, and we're going to continue to discuss different elements in the film, as well as the history and, of course, Hollywood and the romance of Native Americans. They've been together for a very long time, and there's lots of dialogue that goes along with that. We want you to join the conversation, too. The number 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in our first caller. We have Ace here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And Ace, what do you think about this film?
I have not seen the film yet. I do plan to see the film. I really don't have an issue with Johnny Depp portraying a Native American on screen because it's a fictional character. I would be more concerned someone portraying, passing themselves off as First Nations and portraying an Indian character on film, whether it's a documentary or, as Graham Greene once said, of Val Kilmer portraying an FBI agent. I'm just glad he's not a Native, you know, stuff like that. And a little bit of back history myself. My name is Asa Luke Tucro, and I did portray Eli Parker and Lincoln. And I just, like I said, I would be more concerned of someone portraying a Native American and saying they're Native American on film.
All right. And Ace, before you go, you played a role in another huge film that hit us this past few seasons. Any questions that you got when you were on set from maybe the filmmakers, the directors, the camera folks about wanting to make your role as a Native American authentic?
Quite frankly, I was chosen. I worked as a rigging grip on the film Lincoln, and I was doing my job, and Steven Spielberg picked me out of the crowd. So I really, it was rather more of a shock to myself as well as the crew that I was working with to realize that I was portraying a historical character, and I found out more about him as the filming went along. But it was a great honor to be chosen to play Eli Parker, not only because he's a NIDA, but Steven Spielberg picked me out of the crowd while I was doing my job.
Okay, well, Ace, thank you for your call coming to us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's go ahead and bring in another. We have Muriel in New York City, New York, tuned in via Native Voice One. Muriel, welcome to our talking circle, and what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, thank you very much. I'd just like to give a great shout out to Terry Gomez, who's one of my biggest collaborators here in New York City. We worked with each other in theater, and she's one of my editors. And I'm calling to support what she is speaking about today. And the concern here, I do believe, and I think a lot of people who are in theater and we as artists who are working very hard for the misappropriation of images, one of the things that, yes, Johnny Depp is doing something positive. No one's saying anything. And it's not an attack to Johnny Depp. What most of us are talking about is the image. Because what happens is November comes around and October comes around. And then we have the image for Halloween. And those of us who are working every day, who have children in high school, have children in elementary school, and now even in college, we see the marginalization every day. We see that, well, this isn't really racist. So to perpetuate that, that is what I'm having an issue with. And I think there's a lot of Native actors and Native parents who are concerned about the image in itself. And how many of us across Indian country, and I'm talking about all of us across Indian country, were called Tonto. And how that word, what does that mean to us?
Okay, Muriel, I want to go ahead and hear some comments from our guests here in studio with us. We do appreciate your call. They're in New York City, New York. Tuned in on Native Voice One. Phone lines are open. Join the conversation. 1-800-99-NATIVE. Terry, I saw you shaking your head a bunch during the caller. Let's go ahead and start with you. Anything you'd like to add?
Yes, I would like to add to that comment Muriel made about having our children called names, Redskin, Tonto, Dirty Indian, all these slang words that still raise their ugly head to our children. You know, I thought I'd seen the end of it by hearing myself being called squaw, stink Indian, things like that. But I have a quote from a book called Silent Victims, Hate Crimes Against Native Americans by Barbara Perry. And it says, the daily occurrence of name-calling or ostracism of Black, Hispanic, or Native American youth in school are just as damaging in their cumulative effect as an actual physical assault. And I think that's true. I think that we are marginalized and that to have insults thrown at our children does hurt them. And it does cause damage to their ego, to their sense of self, to their self-identity.
All right. Jane, anything you want to add?
Yes. Well, I'm a mother of four children, and my children are, if anybody knows me, they're always out in the Native community, and they do quite a bit. I think for what this film, The Lone Ranger, for what it actually does is I was lucky enough to be at the foreign press junket that they had here in Santa Fe, and I heard so many questions. Like, after the people viewed the film, and then later they got to do the actual junket and talk to, you know, the director and the producer and then Johnny and Army and, you know, a few other people on the cast. It really shined a light on Native America. And I think that's really important because I think that it'll give us an international stage. You know, people will come and, you know, try to look for the tribes. I know that my tribe, you know, the Comanche Nation, was consulted, you know, when during the making of this film. You know, Johnny's made several trips there. You know, I mean, I've seen for myself that his heart is in the right place. But I think that it's up to us, you know, when people start looking and asking questions and, you know, wanting to know more about Native America, what we do with this light.
All right. Well, I want to go ahead and get to that press conference. We have some audio from there, and it was really interesting listening to the one segment. I guess is open to everybody to just kind of throw questions at the cast and crew of it. And so there were many different questions asked, and let's hear some of the audio from this press conference we're referring to. Armie Hammer, who portrays the Lone Ranger, and Johnny Depp portrays Tonto, were asked about how they used their own ancestry in the role. And Armie Hammer answered first.
I did look a little bit into my past. Didn't have any real connection to the Lone Ranger or Native Americans. However, my grandpa says we have Cherokee on our blood somewhere, but then again, I don't know anyone in America who doesn't also share that claim. It's all you.
You know, the weird thing is, you know, you're only told that as a child, you know, and it becomes sort of like, you know, like Armie said, you know, everyone's got a, you know, some part Cherokee. You know, I was told I was Cherokee as a kid. I was told I was Creek as a kid. I was told, you know, the Chickasaw. I mean, so many different things in Kentucky.
What do you call 64 Cherokee in a room?
Wow, this could get weird.
Mm-hmm. Full blood.
Full blood?
This was told me by a Comanche.
Really?
Yeah, so I feel like it's a safe joke.
Yeah. How proud of Armie are we? Seriously, he told a safe joke.
I've got unsafe jokes.
He does have unsafe jokes. He's unsafe things. But, I don't know, growing up, you know, it was like you just knew that somebody told you, you know, what they told you. But I've always had a fascination, you know, and a connection somehow. And this film was a great opportunity to be able to, you know, try to at least, you know, as I said, you know, chip away a little bit at the cliche.
All right. And again, that was Johnny Depp speaking with Armie Hammer at a press event that took place in June in Santa Fe, New Mexico last month. And, you know, there were a lot of foreign reporters, but there were also folks from the U.S. too that were there and had the chance to ask the different cast and crew questions about it. And so a lot of things come up in that clip, and I want to go ahead and open this up for discussion. But I want to remind you, our phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And Terry, I want to know, what did you take away from that clip?
That we're seen as a joke. And I think that the caricature that Johnny Depp played, he didn't break the, what did he say, chip away at the caricature or the stereotype role. I think he fed it with that crow on his head, with that face paint that's the opening scene. I only saw it one time, so it's in the opening of an elder. And I have never seen an elder Comanche man that looked like he just crawled up from out of the grave. You know, that makeup that they put on him, I thought, was that supposed to be like scare little kids into thinking, ooh, was this the boogeyman or what is this? You know, and all the way from the red face paint that he wears throughout, a question was raised to me that if Johnny Depp played an African-American with voodoo paint on his face, would that be acceptable? Of course not. But for whatever reason, Native Americans think because it's a white guy, it's Johnny Depp, it's Hollywood, that we have to accept that it's right. And, you know, just the idea that he's making things better for the Indian people, no, I don't agree with that.
Okay, Jane?
I think that the vote is still out. We have to wait and see what people – wait and see what people say when they actually see the movie. I think that to preface the little clip that you did play a little bit, I know that Army had some difficulty with his interviews on I think it was either Jay Leno or David Letterman because he told X-rated jokes. So that's why I think he felt a need to tell a regular joke or a different joke because he had, you know, told X-rated and he's not supposed to be telling X-rated jokes.
Yeah, you can't hit those kind of jokes everywhere in this world.
But exactly.
Jane, any thoughts on we heard laughter when this foreign press, you know, heard this, people mm-hmm. from the United States too. Any thoughts of people, you know,
there.
Taking this as taking it further? And mm-hmm. I think another thing to make a point with this, these are journalists. These are quotes that journalists can take home and write mm-hmm. a story about. And, you know, if there's no context or the journalist didn't understand mm-hmm. Or even to a point where a journalist, you know, English might be their second language. And so, mm-hmm. You know, understanding jokes is it's a cultural thing. It's a language thing. It's a lot of stuff. And
right.
That didn't offend you.
It didn't offend me because I'm a powwow person and I go to a lot of powwows. And this 64... what do you call when you have 64 Cherokees in a room? I've heard that at a powwow, like a lot, quite a bit. And then I've also heard, you know, like other jokes, you know, that are told in a powwow context. So that, for me personally, it did not bother me. It didn't bother me. I think it went over the heads of a lot of the foreign press that were there because I don't think they understood that because I don't think they understand blood quantum and et cetera. So, you know, I mean, when he said, what do you call, I thought he was going to follow that up by saying, you know, what do you call one white man in a room full of Indians and the bingo caller one? I thought he was going to probably go that direction. So I was just waiting going, oh my gosh. But, personally, no, I wasn't offended. And I've seen Johnny's outreach, you know, into Native country, especially my country, you know, for what he's done to with the Comanches. And as not only just Johnny Depp, but as well as Disney, you know, ABC Disney, you know, they've done some great things, you know, in my nation. And I think that's really important. You know, I think that it's like a give and take. You know, right. And I don't feel like they're just taking, you know, away from us. And, you know, there's also, you know, a process of them giving back too.
Okay. You know, there are a lot of viewpoints on this. We're going to break here and we want to hear from you too. Where do you stand on this? And we just heard a clip from a press junket that took place in June. National Native News and Native America Calling both tried diligently to be a part of the members of the press, but we were not given access. And we did hear the press conference that we just played a clip from and different questions were asked, also including does he smoke a peace pipe? And so there were a lot of questions. There were also questions about the influence of this film and the connection to Native America and also the connection that some of the actors had. So there were a lot of questions that were asked. And we're just giving you a taste of different things, but we really want to hear from you today. We know this is definitely a conversation that is taking place in many different places. We want you to call in and tell us a bit of that conversation. What do you think about the new Lone Ranger movie coming out and the characters who have been chosen to play it? Phone lines are open. We'll be right back after the break. The character of Tonto is back in the new Lone Ranger film, and he's got a lot of people talking. As the dialogue continues, we take a moment to go deeper into the Tonto files to learn more about how this character connects to Native America. What have you heard about him? Join us for The Full Tonto on the next Native America Calling.
Support provided by First Nations Development Institute, working to improve economic conditions for Native Americans through technical and financial assistance, training, advocacy, and policy. Learn more at firstnations.org. And by Humboldt State University, part of the California State University System, offering a part-time 3.5-year online Master of Social Work program, emphasizing work in rural and indigenous communities. Learn more at humboldt.edu/socialwork. Kwanic Broadcast Corporation is seeking to fill two positions in our national studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are accepting applications for a senior producer for Native America Calling and resource development specialist to sell underwriting. Full job descriptions can be found at nativeamericacalling.com. Click on employment.
The Coeur d'Alene Tribe invites you to Jalayansh, the largest outdoor powwow in the Northwest, July 26th through the 28th. Over 100 arts and crafts vendors will be featured. Enjoy 3 days of dancing, an art show and auction, drumming competitions, a horse parade contest, and a skydiving expo. Over 175 grand in cash prizes will be given away. It's Jalayansh, July 26th through the 28th at Greyhound Park in Post Falls. Learn more at jalayansh.com.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. It's great to hear from different parts of Native America today. Let's send a shout out to some of the stations that carry our program. Hello to those of you tuned in on KZPA in Fort Yukon, Alaska, KIDE in Hoopa, California, and The Peach in Peach Springs, Arizona. Also, welcome to our listeners from around the country who are tuned in online on Native Voice One, NV1.org. And did you or someone you know go see The Lone Ranger last night? The film opened in theaters across the country. And we want to know, is this film, you know, where does it sit? Has it created a stir where you are? We are opening up our electronic talking circle so you can hear your, we can hear your thoughts on the resurrection of the story and its characters, Tonto and the Lone Ranger. And we want to know, do you think the film can boost Native pride? And what do you think about Johnny Depp portraying Tonto? And do you think this film can help turn around stereotypes about Natives in Hollywood? And what kind of future does it bring for Native actors and Native filmmakers? Dial into the conversation, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and bring back our guests. Joining us here in Studio 49, we have Comanche educator, artist, actor, and playwright Terry Gomez. We also have Jane Myers, Swaya Santa Fe Indian Markets Film Project Manager. Welcome back, ladies. And there are a lot of people on the line who want to join the conversation, too. So let's go ahead and go straight to them. I want to bring in Chi, who is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And Chi, what's your take on this?
Hello, my name is Norman Patrick Brown, and I'm a novel filmmaker and consultant for film and theater for the past 23, 24 years. I saw the movie last night, and I'd just like to say thank you to Terry Gomez, for your strong voice and your convictions in what many of us believe to be a sad state of Native filmmaking, Native films in Hollywood. What I saw on TV, I mean, what I saw was an incredible waste of $250 million. I mean, those could have been a lot of projects for our people. I mean, the money there. But the main thing, what I wanted to comment on was it threw our people back. I mean, I didn't see anything positive of it. I mean, it wasn't funny. The Native humor, it didn't connect with me. I grew up on the Navajo Nation. And to me, it was a pretty sad commentary, you know. And I understand the justification of others wanting the realization of Hollywood and Native actors in Hollywood film, but not this vehicle. I mean, thanks to Saginaw Grant and Gil Birmingham, but, you know, the Johnny Depp was listed on the top row as an executive producer. I mean, the incredible power he had in terms of its creative structure. And that was wasted. I mean, yeah, it's Hollywood, it's Disney, but it could have been a very good film. And my thinking there was that, you know, I'm glad that Tonto wasn't Navajo, you know, because there would have been an uproar on Navajo.
And there was also filming that was there. Norman, we do appreciate your call here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tuned in on KUNM. Let's bring in another. We have Tom here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And Tom, what are your thoughts on the film?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say that this is just like the Peter Pan movie made by Disney where they betrayed the Native Americans in this disrespectful way. This new Disney movie is just a real-life version of that. In the very beginning of the film, you see a plaque in the front of Johnny Depp's character that says the noble savage. My question is, why would you put such a thing with after you know all the struggle that we as Native people have come? And I don't know. That's just one thing. But as the other woman was talking, she said it does bring attention to Native Americans in the film industry, but only in a negative way. This is not a Native American film. Johnny Depp is not a Native American actor. This is just completely disrespectful to me as a Native man. And I think it's just trying to tear down our culture, tear down everything we're trying to stand for together as strong people. This is not the kind of thing that needs happening. And the last thing I'd like to say is I'm wondering how much did they pay that other woman to How much did they pay the woman defending this movie to defend it?
All right, Tom, thank you for your call here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I want to bring in another caller, but real quick, Jane, did you get paid?
I did not get paid, no. And I've been working in PR for quite some time, and I have also been working with Native film and Native filmmakers. So I have developed relationships with, you know, a lot of people with the networks as well as Disney and throughout the years. And I've had luckily I've been able to work on quite a few things in PR.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. And we are getting all kinds of feedback from this, even on our Facebook. We have Gene. He says the only one who could, he is referring to Johnny Depp, is the only one who could do the job. Me and my kiddos will go see the movie, looking forward to it. And Deborah says, to me, it's just an abrasive thing like Paula Deen using the N-word. What do you think? 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller. We have Lisa, who is in Rocky Boy, Montana, tuned in on KHEW. And Lisa, what would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, I'd like to say that I am going to go see the movie because it sounds interesting and I want to see for myself what it's all about. But what I remember in the old shows, Tonto, his character to the Lone Ranger, he was the sidekick, and he really should be the leader or equal to Lone Ranger. But I think our society depicts Native Americans as invisible and near extinction when the truth is we are alive in our culture and spirituality and that we've survived and are in the process of healing from the historical trauma for over a century, and we're stronger today. I think that Tonto being second best is a reflection on Native Americans as second best, when in actuality we have been the best throughout thousands of years of survival. And I think this movie highlights our Native American roles in the Western period, but we need to depict contemporary characters and stories like something about our powwow champions and dancers and singers.
Because, you know, we do have a beautiful traditional culture, powwow culture. There is a lot of beauty. Lisa, thank you for your call. They're in Rocky Boy, Montana, tuned in on KHEW. And we want to hear from you as well. Phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I'm seeing a lot of Albuquerque lines here on the screen. And we know we're covered across the country on over 60 stations in the U.S. with lots of people. We want to hear from everybody today. Jam our phone lines. Give us a call. We want to hear what you think about this. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I want to go back to a point. One item that a lot of people are commenting on or making reference to is the whole identity. We have several things going on questioning the star's role of his identity and the different communities that he has said he feels he's connected to. We heard Cherokee, we heard Creek, we heard Chickasaw. And so there's a lot of discussion going on about that. So that's one. And then I think there's a second discussion that just leads us straight into is who is a Native American? And so I want to hear the both of you, any comments or anything you want to add about the whole identity issue that's connected to this film, either to the main character or just talking about Native identity. Terry, let's go ahead and start with you.
Okay, because we still are, in a lot of ways, marginalized society, and that, yeah, there are Indians in Hollywood that are getting recognized and seen in the movies. I know this isn't, you know, to talk about it, it isn't the most important issue that we have to face as Native American people. There are a lot of issues with land and water, et cetera, families and so forth. So this idea that our kids see this, they only get a very little chance to see themselves on screen. So when they see this caricature, this joke of who Indians are, it's very hurtful. Now, I was sitting at that film between two elders, Comanche women, and two 20-something Native American men. When that movie ended, I could see one of them sitting by me. His arms were stiffening up. He was leaning forward very rigidly. When it ended, he said, "That was the most racist movie I have ever seen." And I thought about that pain of what it would be if somebody were to put a squaw up there on the screen and keep saying it over and over, to think about how this young Comanche man was seeing a Comanche man depicted. It was very painful. And, you know, I don't want to see that kind of thing go on for any tribe.
All right. Jane?
Well, for me, I know that when the film first was, the film before it was ever released, our chairman, Wallace Coffey, you know, got the opportunity to fly out to California and preview this. And he didn't find anything, you know, offensive about it, all the way down to the costuming point, you know, to the regalia with... you know, I've been a lifelong dancer, you know, with my tribe, and we have a ceremonial dance which is called Thuwi, and I don't know if are you familiar with the Thuwi dance?
Course.
So you know, it's about the black crow, you know, and it's and to me, when I first saw this, that's what the costuming and everything brought about to me.
They didn't wear a crow on their head, though.
No, they didn't wear it on their head, but, you know, that's what it made me think of. Because, you know, it made me think of him as a warrior, you know. And our warriors were interpreted in many different ways and many different strengths. And I got to see the film, you know, in Comanche country, you know, with four theaters full of Comanche people. And at the end of the film, I heard lots of applause. You know, a lot of people were excited and thrilled. And, you know, we had the red carpet there. And, you know, this was just a really, I don't know how many of our people get a chance to walk down a red carpet. And to me, the endeavor overall was just fantastic. I didn't see, you know, a lot of people saying that they were offended, you know, at the screening, which took place in the heart of Comanche country. But also, I that's just what I wanted to say about address that.
There are a lot of opinions, and, you know, today is a space for all opinions. We want to hear from you, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go to Jan in Bernalillo, New Mexico. Hi, Jan, you're on air.
Hi, Marerahue. This is Jan. I'm a Comanche Nation member, and I was very offended by the movie, and mostly because of the depiction of that crow and the language that was misused, and just the information that I know about the person that actually helped and was the Comanche authority. I don't know. The whole thing is just ridiculous, and it's just Disney's perpetuation of the savage and that iconic Indian that they've been portraying. And I worked with IAIA Disney on a workshop several years back, and I asked one of the associate producers, do you think white people are ready to see what Native people think of them? And without missing a beat, he said no, you know, because they don't care, obviously, with this movie. If they did, they wouldn't have made it so ridiculous, because many people have told me that Johnny Depp has just turned his pirate character into an Indian with white face paint and a crow on his head, and I agree with that. And my niece in Oklahoma told me, oh, Auntie, I'm so embarrassed. I don't even want to go see this movie.
All right,
and I
Jen.
Told her we were going to see it because I wanted to be able to critique it and tell other people whether they should even see it or not.
Jen, thank you for calling in. We're going to keep it going. Let's bring in another caller. We have Mashkuab in McGregor, Minnesota, tuned in on KGZS. You're on air.
Yes, Miigwech, for taking my call. I just wanted to say about 20 years ago, a bunch of us are sitting around talking about Native movies, and we finally said in a big group, when are the Indians ever going to win the wars? And then somebody quipped up, when the Indians make the movies. And I think that's so appropriate. You know, it's good that they have blockbuster movies out there and great actors such as Johnny out there playing those roles and stuff like that there. But eventually Native America has to start making movies. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Mashkuab, thank you for your call there in McGregor, Minnesota. Let's go ahead and bring in another voice. We have Chris Ayer on the line, and let's go ahead and bring him in. You might know his name, connected to the film Smoke Signals. He's known throughout Indian country as well as Hollywood for his connection to film. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going? I've been listening in.
All right. Go ahead, just jump in there. What's your comment?
I think that's a great comment. When are the Indians going to make the movies? When are the Indians going to make their own movies? I mean, that's been something that we've been doing for years. Norman Patrick Brown, who was on earlier, has been doing it. And I think that's where there's some leverage in this. You know, I don't see this as a polarized conversation or a monolithic conversation about, you know, the bad or the good. It's the fact that we're all in the air talking about this is a good thing. And the fact that we make our own work as artists, whether it be musicians, filmmakers, fine artists, it all has relevance, and it's all coming to pass generationally. The thing that I don't like in this discussion is the polarized discussion about it, which is, you know, when people are so up in arms about something that they're not seeing the gray areas. I mean, I don't diss on Saginaw Grant, David Midthunder, any Native people that are part of this production that are actually perfecting a craft, that are working in the industry, that are supporting a family, and not to the detriment of Native people, but to the fact that they're participating in something that's happening. What I don't want to do is sit on the sidelines and be passive, and every time something topical comes up with Indian country, such as codename Geronimo, I mean, where did all those people go? That we're railing on the Geronimo, you know, code name for getting Osama bin Laden. I mean, was that just a popularity thing at the time where people were like, oh, we're so angry about this, and then we never hear from them again? That's a passive thing to me. That's a passive demonstration.
And you know, with, Chris, you know, you bringing up the point of like wanting to see more of the gray area, I think that's a great comment, too, because we have different views. You know, there are it's seeming like it is a polarized, but I don't think so. You know, I think one thing that takes us directly into the gray area, I've seen a lot of conversations where people are up in arms and then they get to a point and say, but he's Johnny Depp and maybe I'll give a free pass. And then I'm seeing it on the other side of people saying that I love Johnny Depp, but this is a reason to reconsider that. And Chris, I'm glad you are making that point of what about that gray area? Couple of minutes left in the hour, 1-800-99-NATIVE. I want to go back to the phone lines and go ahead and bring in Lynette in Anchorage, Alaska, tuned in on KNBA. Hello, Lynette, and what did you think about this?
Good morning. Hi. I seen the film last night here in Anchorage, Alaska, and if it wasn't anybody else but Johnny Depp, I think that there would be a lot more criticism, but he is so unique and bizarre with his characters. And I believe that, you know, I believe that even though it, you know, he's portraying Native Americans, and I know that I'm Tlingit, and there's parts of it that is pretty negative in the portrayal. But Johnny, I think he opens more doors than he closes. And I lost my son, Johnny, in March. So that was his favorite actor. And I think that Johnny did a very good job.
So you had different reasons for seeing it, too. Michelle, thank you for your call. Lynette, there in Anchorage, Alaska, tuned in on KNBA. Now let's bring in Michelle, who is here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Michelle, you're on air.
Hi. I'm here with my roommate, Chantal Yazzie, and we both come to the conclusion that we don't like the life that the movie portrays Native Americans or Native American elders. It goes back to the stereotypical Native, back to the old Western movies where Natives being portrayed by Mexicans with straight blue, straight hair, wigs, or with Anglo people with heavy red makeup and blue eyes. The movie is not a good representation of Native people. It's the same as Burt Reynolds and Navajo Joe, or the guy that plays in The Missing.
You know, there's a lot of folks who could be put on that list. And, you know, it just keeps bringing up the point that, you know, this is not an old dialogue. This is something that has been going on for many decades. And I'm going to put it on the table. It's going to continue as we move into the future. Thank you for your call. Let's bring in another. We have Marty in Spokane, Washington, tuned in on KSFC. And Marty, what would you like to share?
Hi, I just want to express my opinion about the fact that Native Americans are finally being recognized as the beautiful people we are. Thank you.
Okay, Marty, thank you for your call. And let's go to another. We have Sid in Reservoir, Wisconsin, tuned in on WOJB. And Sid, what's your question?
Hi, I was wondering if anyone can comment on, were there any, like, maybe elders, you know, people that really would know how he should, you know, be dressed. Were there any advisors that worked on this film?
Okay. Jane, can you help us with that one?
Sure. There was one Comanche advisor, and I don't know him that well, and I don't know if Terry knows him that well, but I think Jan, one of the callers, did. But they did have a Comanche advisor as far as I know.
Yeah, I believe his name is William Volker, and another individual, he only has one name. His name is Troy, and they both work at the Eagle Repository there in Comanche. We did have a chance to catch up with them, and Troy shared a view about the costume and the connection, kind of what you mentioned earlier, Jane, about the Warrior Society. And so we are getting close to the end of the hour, and I just want to go ahead and, you know, talk about what this means for the future for Native communities, filmmakers, actors, playwrights as well. And so I'm going to give you a moment to both think of your final comment and bring in one more caller. We have James in Rapid City, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. James, what do you want to say?
Hey, my name is James Testimony Machiap. I work for Lakota People's Law Project here in Rapid City, South Dakota, on Indian child welfare. But anyway, I think this movie in there, Tonto, you know, maybe taken in the wrong way, you know. We're going to have characters throughout our lives, you know, that are going to be displaying things that we like and don't like. I mean, you know, there's more issues than, you know, Tonto. There's issues with, you know, the dirty filmmaking. I mean, you know, where's the people advocating to, you know, stop something like that, you know? But anyway, I believe that Indian child welfare should be more of an issue than having, you know, discussions on Tonto and the Lone Ranger.
All right, James, thank you for your call there in Rapid City, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. And I also want to let you know, we are getting close to the end of our hour here today, the live segment, but we'd encourage you to carry on this conversation on our Facebook page. We read those comments and we also weave them into the programs that we do and know this topic is touching different elements and topics that we continue to cover. So tell us what you're thinking. Tell us what you heard on the program today and respond to it there. We're going to read those. You just go to facebook.com/Native America Calling. And so I wanted to give the both of you a moment for final comments, and you both got about a minute. So let's do this diplomatically. Go ahead.
Me?
Okay. Well, stereotypes are very detrimental. That's why that's things that I teach in the classroom. And I'd also like to say that the misappropriation of culture goes on whether we like it or not. We try to stop it when we can or say something or make it known to people. Also, you can sell out your culture, and people do it all the time. And the thing that we need to do is to promote our Native American filmmakers, writers, playwrights, etc., instead of running them down, lift them up. And so we can help lift our Native people up, because that's why we go to films, theater, to be a lot of the time to learn something new. But for us as Native people have such a short opportunity, we need to go and be lifted up by our own people and hear their words and hear what we have to talk about. Like, there's plays about child welfare, and, you know, all these important issues are covered by many. So thank you.
All right. And thank you for sticking to the minute. Go ahead, Jane.
Okay. I just wanted to say, in regards to the Lone Ranger, I think what's important is that the Lone Ranger is a sidekick to Tonto in this film. And to me, Tonto is the hero, which that's a good thing for Native people to see and for Native children to see, because I grew up watching the old Lone Ranger and, you know, Tonto was the sidekick and really relegated to the secondary role. But as far as myself, I've always been raised to believe that I'm to be part of the solution. My great aunt Josephine Wapp always tells me we're one generation behind. So rather than, than to stand in the corner and say, why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? I want to be part of the solution. I've always been an advocate for Native film. So one thing I agree with Terry on is that we do need to promote our Native filmmakers. But I used this opportunity and I spoke to the people at Disney. You know, I spoke one-on-one and, you know, they were like, well, I don't understand why there aren't many Native people in the press line. So I talked to them about doing outreach to Native press and make sure that we're included, because we're just as important as any press.
All right. Well, as we bring a close to this hour, I want to thank our guests today, Comanche Blackfeet artist Jane Myers and Swaya Film Project Manager. Also, thanks to Comanche educator, artist, actor, and playwright Terry Gomez. Also, thanks to Chris Eyre for adding to the conversation. And that's the end of this episode of Tonto On and the Lone Ranger on Native America Calling. Today, tune in again tomorrow as we continue with the dialogue. We'll hear more from Johnny Depp and some of the cast and crew direct from the red carpet of the world premiere of The Lone Ranger. And you'll also hear from folks from Native America, including another actor who played Tonto. Our executive producer is Sarah Gustavus. Associate producer is William Kai. John Strader is our engineer. Also, thanks to Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News. For more information about our program, visit our website at NativeAmericaCalling.com. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood. Join us again tomorrow when Tonto rides back into our electronic talking circle.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.